Good morning and shalom. We continue to look into the life of Paul. The life of Paul is a very interesting life to understand. Last time I said it is very important for you to understand the life of Paul as the carrier of the gospel. Because you will only be able to understand the letters written by a person if you understand the character of that person, the life of that person. Today, when you are studying any book, you first study the character of that person, and then you'll be able to get the message. You'll be able to get even the hidden meaning. Whatever he says, you understand what we call the context. Paul is a man who had gone through trouble because of the gospel. Yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ is free. Jesus Christ went through trouble, and we normally preach that we receive it by faith. That's true. And it is free. That's true. But living it out is not free. You receive the gospel free, but you don't live free. There's a lot of trouble that people go through because of following Jesus. Sometimes Jesus goes through the fire. And because he's not afraid of fire, and he knows that the fire cannot burn him, he goes through the fire. He expects you and me to also follow him in the fire. Jesus knows that the fire cannot burn us. That's trouble. But the moment we do not have faith in Jesus, we cry out. We give up. We go back. We lament. We lament. We become despised. We become ridiculed. Jesus has no problem going through the many waters. He is aware that the waters cannot drown him. And as we follow Jesus, he expects us to follow him in the waters, because he is quite sure the water can do nothing to us because we have put our trust in him. But if you have no faith in him, we go back, we cry, we feel dejected. So life of Paul was a life of trouble. The very first time he entered into the city of Corinth and started proclaiming in the synagogue, trouble broke loose. And as a matter of fact, he had run away from Athens and even from Berea, and before that from Thessalonica. All these cities, Paul had run away because of trouble. But he's not giving up. Why is it that Paul never gave up? It's good to understand the life of this man, going through trouble. So when he went to Corinthians, the trouble was so much that at one time, he gave up. People there were so much against, became abusive, as we can see in Acts 18, and one time, Paul gave up. He gave up. He began the ministry by giving up. And he dusted. You know what the Bible says, that he knocked his feet on the ground and the dust, and he said, "May the problem is on your own because you have rejected the gospel. Now I go to the Gentiles." And he gave up the Jews. At the middle of the night, the Spirit of Jesus, through a dream, came to Paul. And he told Paul, "Paul, don't give up. I have very many people in this city. I have many people in this city. They will not attack you so as to injure you or to destroy you. Keep on speaking. Do not give up. Do not stop." It is from that moment, that speaking at night, that ignited Paul. And Paul never gave up again. That fueling was enough to make him fly, if I can take an example of flight, that could finish the voyage and the journey. It was the fuel that was put in a ship called Paul that would go through storms, and he was prepared to honor that voice through death or through life. We discovered that in chapter 4, Paul never gave up because he knew he was a treasure of jar. But he, you know, he was carrying a vessel in, you know, he was carrying a treasure in a vessel of jar. He knew that what was in him was precious, was the gospel of Jesus Christ. So trouble could not finish him. So he looked at the trouble. He said, we are pressed from every side, but we are not crushed. He said, we are perplexed, but we do not despair. We are persecuted, but we are not left out. We are not forsaken by God. We are knocked down, but we are not knocked out. And he said, we carry the death of Christ every day. But then he says, why? He said the death of Jesus was sufficient, but we were suffering so that people would be able to see the suffering of Jesus in the 20th and the 21st century. Not to propagate, not to pay for sins, not to pay for the debt of sin, but to propagate. And so people would see the trouble of Paul would be able to see the glory of God. Now, number chapter 5, Paul turns into a very interesting thing or idea why he never gave up. And this is why he never gave up. He never gave up because he looked at life from eternity. He looked at life from eternity, and he gave three types of bodies. He compared his other bodies that was being persecuted and that was going in trouble. And he had said that this trouble is momentary, is for a moment. It will not stay for long, you know. And then he says, these bodies, one day, if Jesus studies, will be planted on the earth. As he told us in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But then he compared that with the resurrected body and the glorified body. And he discovered that is the same pattern that his master, Jesus Christ, had. Jesus came, was born into this life, and he took on the body, the physical body, through when he was born by Mary. He died. Of the third day he resurrected, so he got the resurrected body when he visited them. Then when John the Revelator would see Jesus, he saw Jesus as a glorified Jesus. So Paul here, he is looking at life from the eternity. So he never gave up because he looked at life from eternity. And from the new bodies, he was waiting for new bodies. So he said, for we know, we are not guessing. We know that when this other tent, he called himself a tent, we live in is taken down. That is, when we die and leave this other body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Hallelujah. Suppose this, we cannot give up. And this was source of his comfort. That this is for a while, yes. But even though this body, one day, is going to be taken down. This is a tent. And he gave a very good image. You know, all of the messages, or most of the messages we preach during death to encourage and to comfort people. You know, we preach to comfort. We take them from Paul. We take them from the life. Paul is actually, he was giving how the gospel was lived. The four gospels was giving how Jesus brought the gospel. But Paul and other apostles lived the gospel. And Paul is a very good example. So he's talked about that our lives are tents. And he says that once this tent is put down, he says, or we die from this earthly body, we have a house in heaven. So he compares our lives in heaven as a house. And he says, because of that, I'm comforted. Whether I die or live, there's no trouble. One day I will have this house. It is eternal. And he says, it is not made by man, this tent. It's not given by men and women when they came together and brought in a body of a boy. You know, the bodies we have, our parents came together and they begot a boy. I was born out and have the genes of my father and my mother too. But one day, once this body is put down, get a resurrected body, a new body, and of course a glorified body. But this is made by God himself, not by male and female. Then we say we grow wearily in our present body. Then he talk about this body. This is indeed, and I want to encourage people who are aging. Don't you worry. Read such and you'll be encouraged to live in full without so much worry. He says, and we grow wearily in our present bodies, and we long to be to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. So when we are, when our bodies are aging and are weary and are sickly and all that, we look forward, we long for those heavenly bodies, because we know those heavenly bodies, we shall put them. We shall put them as clothes. We'll have them as clothes, as he says. You see, he says that we are going to put these bodies like new clothings. Just the way you put new clothings. Hallelujah. We look forward for that. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirit without bodies. Let me say something. Spirits, people who have already died, is the body that dies. Let's put very clearly. Biblically, spirits don't die. Spirits of Adam are still alive to this very day. They are either with the Lord or they are either in hell burning. So spirits are alive. He is a God. He says he's the God of the living, he's not the God of the dead. The bodies are there. So these spirits are without bodies. Let's be very categorical. They are spirits without bodies. Yes, they are with Jesus. Remember, Jesus resurrected. So Jesus is not disembodied. Jesus has a body. But it's only Jesus, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that he is the only one, the first fruit of resurrection, who have resurrected. The rest of the body have not yet resurrected. They are waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And Paul says in Thessalonians that those who died first, they will raise up. They will get new bodies. Their bodies, they will get their new bodies that time. So Paul is saying, we put on our heavenly bodies. We do not, and we will not be spirits without bodies. They are without bodies now, but eternally we will not be spirit without bodies. But today, those who have died, they are spirits without bodies. Are they dead? No. They are not dead. They are not asleep. They are with the Lord. While we live in these other bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. What a great message. Paul, God himself has prepared for us this. And as a guarantee, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Today we have the Holy Spirit, even in these bodies. He lives in our spirits to tell us that our spirit, our bodies one day, we'll put them down like a tent, and we'll have a new body, like the house that is eternal. That is the guarantee we have today because of the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident. Even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the body, with the Lord. So Paul now uses this good image that when we are at home with the bodies here, we are not at home in with the Lord. So when we live in the body, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. 8. Yes, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these other bodies. For then we will be at home with the Lord. Being at home is what we are looking forward. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to praise him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Now, Paul finished this idea by saying we need to live having a goal in this earthly body. We need to have a purpose, and the purpose is to praise God. Whether we are in the body, whether without the body here or the earthly body. And he says, well, we are here at home. We are on this earth. We are not at home with the Lord. But at the moment we die, we are absent from earth, but we are at home with the Lord. But in whatever, whether we are here or that, we need to live with the purpose of pleasing God. We must please him. Why? One day we'll be judged. But will our lives, God will not judge us because of our sins, because he judged Jesus Christ. When he says that we shall be judged, for we shall stand before Christ to be judged, it is not us that shall be judged, it is our works. Please get this. We'll not be judged because Christ was judged for our sins, but we will be judged because of our works. What we have done while we are in the body. So let's take care that how we live here on earth will determine our crowns. Judging means we get crowns. And so let's live well, because whether we have done good, we will be given what we deserve, good or evil, of whatever we have done in the body. Lord, help us to look and to live with eternity in our minds, in Jesus' name.